Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
All right. I always love doing child dedication. You're thinking, really? It's just an, maybe you've, well, what's going on and happening here? Well, for me, I love getting to celebrate with families. I love getting to see families want to go, hey, you know what? We want to raise our kids, because if you've got kids or you've had kids before, it's a difficult game. And I use that word. It's just hard, right? And so I don't care how old, how young, how prepared or unprepared you think you are for kids. It's like I will say chuckle. I don't laugh. Hey, we're waiting till we're ready to have kids. If you're waiting till you're ready to have kids, you'll wait forever. And so amen. Getting some amens on that one. And so it's great. And so before I jump into the message this morning, I want to give you a quick update on our 1,000 times 100. If you've not been here the last couple of weeks, we brought to the church just a way we're hoping to raise some funds, meet a little budget deficit by the end of the year. And we're super grateful. Many of you have responded and been a part of that. And so we are so thankful for that. So we've asked, we're trying to get 1,000 people to give $100 by the end of 2025. And so we've been trying to communicate that at all 9 of our locations. And so we've raised $121,960, and don't forget the 81 cents so far, which is so good. That's really good. We've had 693 givers, and so 693 givers here specifically in Holly, 113. And so you're like, why do you share these numbers? Well, we're praying and hoping for and really challenging you. We're trying to get to 1,000 participants, which makes about 20% of our congregation as a church. We're running about 5,000 on a weekend, and so challenging our church and going, how can we help meet that budget deficit? How can we jump into that? And then also kind of prepare for 2026. And so thank you to all you've prayed for that, thought about that, participated in that. And so maybe you're still praying about how to do that. That's okay. No worries. You got a couple weeks, but we're trying to ask to do that by the end of 2025. And so I just wanted to share those numbers and those updates as we said we would. And so this morning, as Pastor Ryan shared, we're kicking off a new series, Melee at the Manger, and excited for that. I will have to confess to you, we are in Revelation this morning, but I wrote half of my passages as Romans. That is true. If you didn't know, you're like, we've been in Romans the last 32 weeks. It's just been a habit. And so I'm like, no, I had to change those as Revelation. But the birth of Jesus was recorded in Luke and Matthew, and really even some sense in John 1, where it describes in the beginning was the Word was with God. And so we see the entrance of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus was foretold in the major and minor prophets. Thinking, okay, where and what? So the prophets told of this, this baby to be born. Jesus was also told about and foretold, even really in the books of poetry, which you're going to, why do you share this? Because it's important. All 66 books point to the coming and our need for Jesus Christ. I love that look as we as a church can look and go, wow, moment by moment, there is verse by verse, there's chapters, there's stories. They all illuminate and highlight our need for Jesus Christ. I heard this quote. It was really kind of special to me. Jesus isn't just a part of the Christmas story, but Christmas is a part of the Jesus story. I thought, wow, what a great encapsulating theme. And I hope over the next couple weeks to really look at, okay, what is happening at the birth? Why the birth? Why the birth of Jesus? Because ultimately we need it. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. our need for Jesus, having a hopeless future, we needed Jesus. If you miss everything I say the rest of this morning, we need Jesus. That is so imperative that we understand that. But if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 12. You're going, wow, I don't know if I've heard a Christmas sermon on Revelation 12. Well, I've never preached a Christmas sermon on Revelation chapter 12. So it'll be a new thing for all of us this morning. Over the next couple of weeks, as you flip there or you turn there on a tablet or a phone, we'll look at the clash of the baby and the dragon. You're like, what? We'll get there, trust me. Next week, we'll look at the clash of the kingdoms. Herod the king versus Jesus, the King of Kings. And then in 3 weeks, it'll be 2 weeks from now, the clash of the heart, the fight in our lives, the melee that we have to go. Do we buy into the busyness of this season? Do we buy into cultural Christmas? Or do we understand what truly is happening in our lives? Is it Jesus Christ ultimately came for a reason and a mission for us? But in Revelation chapter 12, I ask you to flip there. I'm going to read the chapter. We're going to look at that this morning. John is writing really a vision inspired by the Holy Spirit, the book of Revelation, which really foretells a lot of a future ending, but also gives some look at the churches that he starts the entirety of Revelation for. But in verse 1 of chapter 12, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and up to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war rose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. There was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world, a whole world, and was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him, and heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, into the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like river out of his mouth after the woman and swept her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. Let's pray and we'll talk about that this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for just the families that we're able to see dedicated today. These children, these God-given, God-blessed children. God, we pray for their protection. We pray for your hand to be real in their life. God, we know you're a real God. Has a real calling and plan for real people. And so God, I just ask that you be a part of each and every one of these kids' lives on the stage and those that are in our kids' ministry and those in our nursery. God, we just celebrate that today. But God, ultimately we are gathered here for you. We're gathered here around your word, singing about you, praising your name, celebrating the birth of Jesus, but not just singularly the birth, the mission, the plan, the purpose of Jesus to shed his blood so that we might be saved and glorify him for eternity. God, we're so grateful for that. God, be with this message. God, help us to understand. We ask for wisdom and discernment as we're understanding some different things this morning. God, we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I know half of you were thinking, wow, that is an incredibly crazy vision. As I was reading it, I'm thinking a lot of those same things. Like, what is happening here? Well, I'm glad you're asking what is happening. We're going to talk about that for the next few minutes. The vision that John is having or writing down is really chronicling or writing out this a cosmic battle between good and evil. Ultimately, around the birth of a child representing Jesus. And that mission to bring ultimate victory over Satan, hell, death, and defeat. But then we see the dragon having a goal to destroy Jesus and failing. But then destroy the woman and all of her offspring and those who follow God and follow to the words of the testimony of Jesus. Before we get into the passage, I wanted to give us a little backdrop, okay? I want to give us a little understanding of who some of these people are in this. And some are pretty easy to understand. Some may be a little more difficult. But why are we discussing this? And well, it'll help us understand. Well, the key figure is ultimately the child, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the key figure around here as well. Described in verse 5, she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Describing his judicial ability, or is he being the righteous judge of God. That's much described in Revelation, gives us some of these descriptive ideas. But that's describing Jesus here as he is born ultimately to bring hope. And we'll look at a little bit of his ministry and mission a little bit this morning. But you can see in verse 5, her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's describing the ascension of Jesus. But we look at the woman. And so some would describe this woman as Mary or just really all of humanity. And so that's a differing opinion, but ultimately they bring about the same truth. Jesus being born son of man. He's being born son of man. That's an important distinction. You're thinking, I thought he was son of God. Well, Jesus describes himself as son of man multiple times. Are you saying, are those in conflict? No, those both descriptions are accurate. Jesus is the son of God, yet he was born son of man. Why? Well, ultimately that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Being born a son of man because we were lost, broken, hopeless, without a future. And Jesus, being born son of man, came on a mission to die on a cross so that we could be saved. That's the good news of Christmas. That's the good news of Jesus. And ultimately the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he was born of a son of man. The God of all the universe created all things. Humbled himself to be born into humanity. It's crazy. To really truly grasp and understand that, Jesus describes himself as the Son of Man in Matthew chapter 26. He said, Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus describing, yeah, I'm going to ascend and I'll be seated at my same seat as described in Revelation chapter 12. He also says it in Luke chapter 5, "But that you may know that the Son of," here it is, "man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home," as Jesus performs an incredible miracle. It's a great, important distinction as we understand Jesus is not only the Son of God, he became Son of Man. Why? For you and I. What a beautiful description. But then we look at another player in this description in Revelation chapter 12, where this vision is the dragon. The dragon. The dragon is described as Satan or Lucifer or the great deceiver, all the same person. This verse 9 describes the great dragon being thrown down or cast out of heaven. This ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. The Bible describes Satan as the father of all lies. Why? He came to deceive. You can go back to Genesis chapter 3. He began to put deception in. Did God really say? Did God really say that? What is he doing? He's beginning to deceive. And guess what? I want you to hear this morning. Satan is still in the deceiving business. He's still in the deceiving business, deceiving humanity until Jesus ultimately has complete victory and casts Satan into the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 12, we see a description of this dragon. I'll be honest with you, it is a crazy description, right? Are we here? You're like, whoa, diadems, he's got crowns, like what? He's got multiple heads, what's happening here? Well, John is descriptively writing what he's seeing, and so you can read much of Revelation and go, wow, these are hard descriptions. Well, these 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems on the dragon symbolize the completeness of the power, authority, and influence over earthly governments throughout history. The 7 heads represent successive empires or rulers. The 10 horns signify political powers. And the 7 diadems, these royal crowns, signify Satan's claim to dominion on earth over realms. But ultimately, I want you to hear this. They're all completely counterfeit. All right, they're all completely counterfeit. Remember, he's the father of all lies. He's deceptive. It describes the tail of the serpent or the dragon dragging out a third of all of the angels in heaven and being them cast down. What's happening here? He's deceiving them. He deceived them as he deceives humanity as well. But what I want to highlight a few truths in this chapter and really see how they apply in our lives today. This melee is happening. There's a battle happening at the birth of Jesus Christ. You need to hear that. I don't know if you are one that decorates your home or you're putting all these decorations in your home, or if you haven't decorated yet, you're running behind, just an FYI, all right? So you may want to put those up now. Post-Thanksgiving, you have a free pass from me, all right? You're good. And so we laugh about that around here of when and how, and some people are like, hey, my Christmas decorations are year-round. That's awesome. Sounds great. You and Browners are alike, okay? And so, but we see, as many of you have decorated, I don't know many that place a dragon in their decorations. I mean, I've been around places. I plan to go to Bronner's. We have a tradition in our family. And so we go to Bronner's, get everyone ornaments. They don't have many dragons there. But I can say this, Revelation 12 describes a dragon being at the birth of Jesus Christ. Saying what? Really that happened? Well, this vision that John describes is the dragon, the enemy, Satan, the deceiver. ultimately being at the birth of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Satan knew something. The birth of Jesus Christ would change everything. Prior to Jesus Christ, this Messiah had been talked about, been hoped for, been longed for, but there was a darkness that had covered all of humanity. But yet, as the angels told the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, right? They had a credible message that ultimately this birth would change everything. And that's what makes Christmas so special. It ultimately changed everything. It changed the trajectory of humanity. It changed the trajectory of your family. It changed the trajectory of your life, hopefully, as ultimately through this baby boy, Jesus, the gospel, hope for the world, would ultimately come. Amen. Humanity was lost, yet this light had come. And so I want to say this to you this morning. This dragon was there saying, wow, really? Yeah, it was described actually even in Genesis chapter 3. After the fall of humanity, Adam had sinned. Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. First book of the Bible, God had created this beautiful place that they could live and given them one rule. Don't eat of this tree. Don't eat of this tree. You do everything else. And they broke that and sinned. They were deceived by a serpent. And so Adam was cursed. Eve was cursed. All of humanity was cursed through one man's sin, as we looked at in Romans. But, you know, it was also cursed, the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Verse 15 is important. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. What is happening and described? Well, that was a declaration of war. It was a declaration of war. There would be enmity between the offspring ultimately that would be ultimately bring Jesus Christ on this world through humanity and through this serpent or this dragon. There would be a battle royale, if you would, for all of humanity. What's crazy is in this passage, Satan had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a calling in his own way, if you would, to what? Destroy this baby. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll look at some of the deceptive ways that he had sought to destroy the baby. He used the weapon of Herod to have thousands of babies killed, hoping to destroy this baby. And ultimately, I would say this to you today. The goal of Satan, goal of the enemy, is to destroy what Jesus did even to today. He can't take it back, but guess what he can do? He can destroy, as we'll look at just in a few moments, humanity and deceive them. And the enemy thought to have victory over the child. Verse 10, he says, and I heard a loud voice saying, now the salvation, look at verse 4, I will skip down a little bit. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. What a description. Like thinking through this analogy or what's being described is going, wow. The goal of Satan, the goal of this dragon was as soon as this baby was to be born, was to devour it and destroy it. Why? Because Satan knew the hope of all the world would be born in this little baby. But can I say this to you? I'll take it one step further. I believe today the same goal is for the dragon with your kids. or your grandkids. As soon as that baby is born, he seeks to devour. And I'll say this, in our culture, he's hoping to devour before it's even born with abortion. I think, really? Yeah. Devaluing life. Devaluing. That's why we celebrate life here. We believe that is so important that we can come alongside men and women to celebrate their commitment to raising these kids. It's difficult, yet the goal of the dragon is to destroy that even before they're born. But ultimately, as described here in this passage, she sought to have, the dragon sought to have it destroyed. By verse 5, she gave birth to a male child who is to rule all the nations. Verse 5 really kind of encapsulates all of the ministry of Jesus, which really can't get close, by the way. But her child was caught up to God, to his throne. And as I kind of talked through and summarized just a few moments ago, the dragon is not done fighting for humanity. The dragon, Satan, the serpent, Lucifer, whatever you want to describe, is not done fighting or even accusing humanity. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ has come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. This great dragon is not done fighting. First Peter describes the dragon as a roaring lion seeking to devour. Seeking to devour. Verse 17 even describes the dragon becoming furious and making war on the rest of her offspring and those who keep the commandments of God. I know this seems like an odd Christmas series message, but I want to say this to you very, very clearly. You are at war when you live for the Lord against the enemy. Amen. You are at war. Not sticking your head in the sand. This is kind of a heavy topic. No. This is reality. This is reality. We are against an opposition that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't care if you have kids or grandkids, you're married, you're single, this church, the reality is living for the Lord is ultimately a war. Ephesians describes this very, very clearly. That you are, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Those deception, those schemes, scheming. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The reality is there is an enemy seeking to destroy what God is doing in your life. God's call. Whenever I pray in these dedications for families or for kids, I pray for protection. I pray for God's hand of protection to be on their life. Why? Because I know the enemy wants to destroy them. It's a reality. You're saying, wow, that seems like a terrible thought. No, that's just the truth. That's just the truth. Why? Because the dragon couldn't get this baby, but he is seeking to destroy God's church and all of humanity by deception, but also by accusations. Come say, hey, did you see what they did? Who they are? The response they made? These are realities. I read this week. It was good. But the devil's only real power over believers is to throw our sins and transgressions in our faces. He is the accuser. Thankfully, the sacrifice of Christ has effectively dealt with this problem. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb that redeems people, setting them free from slavery to sin and Satan's control. I was like, wow, what a powerful, clarifying statement. See, John is recording or describing this war, this battle that's happening. Battle for ultimately humanity, the spiritual battle. I had a discussion in my men's group this last week, trying to grasp and understand spiritual warfare, spiritual battles. Understanding, okay, what do I do? How do I operate? How do I see and understand that? And I encapsulated and clearly said this to the group, man, this is hard to understand. Because you can't really see it. The Bible describes some battles that are happening. You see, described in Revelation chapter 12, where Michael is the archangel is fighting Lucifer, and these battles are happening. You're going, man, I can't see or comprehend this. I'm a visual guy, so it'd be helpful if I could really grasp and understand this. But at the base level, we can understand this. There is a war happening. There's a war happening, not just physically, but spiritually. Spiritual warfare. That's why Ephesians 6 is so clear, putting on the full armor of God. Realizing that we must memorize scripture to be able to fight this battle. We must pray. We must find ourselves at a place of going, God, I trust you. I need you. I can't fight this battle on my own. See, the goal of the enemy, as described in Revelation chapter 12, is to stop the plan and the work of Jesus Christ and destroy his church, his bride. Now, this message wasn't to go, hey, you know what? Make sure you add a dragon to your nativity scene today. All right? Wasn't there. But it's really ultimately the message of Revelation chapter 12 is, yeah, there was a dragon seeking to destroy the birth of Jesus Christ, was to destroy the hope for humanity. But I want to say this to you very, very clearly this morning. The dragon was defeated by the Lamb. The dragon was defeated by the Lamb. That sentence alone sounds like, how's that even possible? The Lamb? I don't know how many sheep that are going to destroy a dragon or have victory over a dragon, right? But that's what makes the victory that Jesus had on the cross, as he was the Lamb of God that was slain so that you and I could be saved. What a beautiful description and understanding. I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Satan accuses day in and day out. And for me, that's a heavy statement. Because I begin to think, for me, I do a lot of dumb things. Begin to sin and struggle and things. You go, why did I do that? Right. And these accusations come and you go, hey, I think of this analogy or this illustration or looking to see if like Satan coming to say, hey, did you see what Caleb did today? Did you see did you hear the words that he used? Did you see the response? Did you see the actions? And the reality of this is the accusations would be right. And I sit here thinking, man, those sins, those weights. Yeah, you know what? I do struggle with sin on a daily basis. So when those accusations are made, I'm thinking to myself, God, how could you still love me? God, how could you truly show me grace? How could you, like, the things that I've done against you, yet What the beauty of the baby that was born, this lamb that was slain, the beauty of what Revelation chapter 12 is that ultimately by the blood of the lamb, by the testimony of the lamb, you and I have no condemnation. No more accusations can be made. No more. And so we've been set free. We've been given grace. We've been forgiven of our past, our present, our future sins. That's the beauty of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, he would live 33 years, then die on a cross so that you and I could be saved. And so we celebrate Christmas, but realize that birth that the dragon was trying to destroy brought the idea that I could have no more condemnation, as Romans says, and I could be set free by the blood of the Lamb. See, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ dealt with the problem. The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, redeems, sets us free from our slavery to sin. It's beautiful. Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Christ, we've been found free and been saved. See, I love that analogy, that statement. The dragon was slain by the Lamb. See, the birth of Jesus was described here in Revelation chapter 12. Yes, there is some call to future. Some have said the days listed as part of the tribulation, which I tend to think that would be accurate. It's 3.5 years, and so is it half of the tribulation? What John is ultimately describing is through the birth of this baby being born, we could have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and ultimately have hope for our future. Amen. See, this is what makes celebrating Christmas so great. Because Jesus came with a mission, and he completed his mission. I'm going to share that quote that I read in the beginning, because I think it is ultimately what we're trying to do. Jesus isn't just a part of the Christmas story. The Christmas story is a part of the Jesus story. It's beautiful. God, we come to you. We praise you, we love you, we glorify you this morning. God, as we celebrate just over the next few days and weeks, really, the birth of Jesus Christ, God, we are so grateful and thankful why Jesus came. Emmanuel, God with us, the God of all the universe, became human. God, as John 3 says, he came not to condemn the world, but through him we might be saved. Thank you, God. Thank you for that hope. Thank you for that future. God, knowing the reality of the war we are in, we know we cannot have victory without you. You've already won the victory. You've overcome. We've been able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony. God, we seek to honor you this morning, to celebrate this baby being born, but not just simply the birth, the mission, the plan, the call, the purpose. You stepped out of the halls of heaven, were born humbly in a barn around animals, where you should have been born in a palace. Yet you humbled yourself For me. For us. Thank you, God. God, thank you for having victory over the dragon. Thank you for being the Lamb, God. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for this morning. We praise you because you're worthy. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.